Strangers in the Wood is an actual play series drawing elements from gothic fairy tales and 80s fantasy and sci-fi action and horror films. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Strangers in the Wood. My name is Kendrick Smith, and I am your humble game master. I use they, he pronouns. And as always, I'm joined by my lovely players, co-hosts, friends. Friends is the most important here. But nice. Starting off with the most important friend, Gus.
Oh, wow. Well, yes, good start. I like the energy we got today. I'm Gus. I use he, him pronouns. I have already forgotten what we were supposed to say. I play Walter, the weasel, on this show. And the music is me. That's how the theme goes.
Yeah.
It collapsed. It's a great theme. I guess to date this episode of this podcast, the theme song was made between, or was finalized between our last recording and this recording. And it slaps. But by now it you've heard it multiple hard. Times. So there it is. Second is the most important friend, Hilda.
Hi, that's me. Oh, wow. I just outranked you. Sorry.
Damn.
I'm Hilda. I use she, her pronouns. I play Dorothy. What else? We were going to say things. I don't remember. But I play Dorothy in this game. She's great.
Yep. Awesome.
I don't know what else to say.
I don't know why I said it.
She's
like
scared
that.
Of a lot of things. I don't know. If, yeah, whatever.
That's true. We'll get to that soon.
We'll get to that.
Last but certainly not least, the most important friend, Marcy.
Oh, wow.
Well, now you're just throwing it around.
Well, you see, that was my plan from the beginning, but then you all made a big deal about
it. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, never meant anything.
Damn.
I am Marcy. I play Dakota Wallace. I use she, her pronouns. Yep. Dakota's be scared. She do be scared. That's all I got. I'm not gonna lie. As the most important friend, I think I get a pass on this one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So this is, I don't know what episode this is, but if you haven't watched all the episodes leading up to this, what are you doing? Go back and watch the other ones, you silly little goofball. You're gonna get so lost.
Or not. As we always say, or not, just start here and be lost.
Listen.
like the people in the podcast. It's all good.
It's possible that this is the first episode you're listening to because you're trying to go for the secret ending.
Yeah, you're on the right path.
Exactly. If you're starting here's the thing. If you're starting here, just fill in the first part of the story with your imagination. Because that's really what we did. And then email us
what you think happened to get us to this point of the story.
Yeah.
I agree. You can email us at talesyettoldpod@gmail.com.
Look how seamless that plug was.
Oh, so
yeah, exactly. Ooh. You can email us your thoughts, your theories, your concerns, if you have any, or your compliments because you want to tell us we're good people and that we make you happy. Or you just want to tell us to have a good day because I'm about to tell you, I hope you have a good day.
Oh,
wow.
I wasn't talking to you.
If you want to specify specifically that have a good day, make sure to specify that in the email.
All right, that's it. I hope you're dehydrated.
No, stay hydrated. Stay hydrated. Drink water, please.
Always stay hydrated.
Uh-huh. Stay hydrated, especially while you're listening to this podcast.
You will have dark yellow piss.
It's too late.
It's been said. I'm not editing it out. The hex has been cast. It's staying in. Whoever's editing this video, leave that in. Oh, right. This is the part where the music starts playing and we start to go into the thing. He's here. Look what you've done. If only you had just gone to class.
I guess I wasn't wrong when I said this was gonna be fun.
I'm actually taking psychic damage.
I'm gonna say, as you go up to the vines to start pulling them off of him, you are able to pull off like two or three vines, but as you try to like throw them back, they sling out of your arm, wrap around your wrist, and then begin to continue to grow and start constricting your movement as well.
I say, attention all students, there is a fire! Please evacuate! To the hallways immediately!
Yeah, I've gotten away from you for this long. I'm gonna keep getting away from you. And if it takes a fucking eternity of making your life live in hell, if that's what it takes, I'll do it. I'm gonna make a bold claim here, alright? I'm smarter than you. I'm a lot smarter than you.
You think so? Then how about we test that?
Yeah.
I'll give you 5 minutes. Before I kill Dakota. Timer starts now.
Shit!
One person runs out from the group of them and you recognize her. She is the girl that you saw leaving the principal's office as you all were waiting for him.
What are you guys doing? You're gonna get stuck too. Stop!
I don't care! I'm not leaving without you!
The three of you need to get out of here now!
Dorothy, are we leaving him?
Go!
Yes!
You all walk. It's about maybe like an eighth of a mile down the road a little bit. And eventually you see like a sign sticking out of the side of the road that says Sublime County Bus Stop.
All right.
Are we getting on the bus?
Yeah, well, I guess we wait.
The four of you, Dorothy, Dakota, Walter, and your new friend and companion, Marley Butler, are standing outside of a yellow bus that has just pulled up to the bus stop. You're about an eighth of a mile away from the Sublime County School for Lost Children, where you all have run away and escaped the clutches of a weird, strange entity that seemed to overcome the school, trying to trap you in. The bus doors open, and inside is a familiar face to Walter, the face of the bus driver, Lucy Chapman. She is an older woman, somewhat portly, wearing a bus driver uniform of, like gray-blue jumpsuit. She's got dark curly hair, pale skin, freckles, and thick rimmed glasses. And as she opens the door and looks down at all of you, she smiles and she has kind of this like gap-toothed smile. And she says, well, what are you all waiting for? Get on in!
Well, I'm gonna get on in. Yeah, right. Walter hops in, says, how's it going there, Ms. Chapman?
Walter, I was not expecting to see you here after all this time. Well, come on, you and your friends get on in here. There's plenty of room. And she points back, and behind her is, it looks like a school bus. It's this I'm not going to describe what a school bus is. It is this, but it's like this. We all know what school buses are, I would imagine. But for those of us who are not familiar with a traditional American school bus is, it is a long vehicle, yellow and black on the inside. There are two rows of seats on either side, flanking a very oftentimes like almost too small like path that goes from front to back, thick leather chairs that all face forward, and the most, they're all very plain and very stiff. Yeah, that's a school bus. And there's a door.
I want to make sure this vehicle with carrying probably upwards of 40 children has no seatbelts, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely no. No seatbelts found.
Gotcha. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Absolutely
yeah.
No seatbelts. Why would there be seatbelts?
Why would you do that?
The only school bus that has seatbelts is the Magic School Bus.
Yeah.
True.
Do they?
That's literally what the Frizz yells at. She says, seatbelts, everyone.
Yeah, she says, seatbelts, everyone. That was the thought that made me say that the Magic School Bus has seatbelts, to be quite
That's
clear.
That's the real magic of that school bus.
It's true. That
That's true.
Safety.
Is the safety features.
But yeah, she like waves you all on to this rather empty school bus. She's the only person on it.
Dakota kind of waits back to make sure everyone else gets on safely.
I'm waiting by Dakota.
Okay, so Walter, you hop in. You're kind of standing in that kind of entry doorway, you know, right onto the bus. Dorothy and Dakota, the two of you, kind of hesitantly like wait to see who's gonna.
I'm waiting for Dakota because I am. I'm scared that she's not going to follow again.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
So I wait to see Dakota make a move toward boarding the bus.
Dakota kind of sees Dorothy's hesitance and then kind of gestures and puts her hand out.
I take it hesitantly.
Okay. Looks at Marley and goes, "Oh, go ahead. You can go first."
You see that Marley kind of gives you a very hesitant, like kind of where she looks down at the ground for a moment, kind of cocks her head to the side, looks back up and says, I appreciate the offer, but I just don't know. I should probably head back.
You don't want to go back there.
Yeah, but
you seem to hate it there.
I don't hate it there. It's great. I love going to school. I mean, I've been learning so much, and my family, they are.
Marley, the first time we saw you, you were crying in that school.
Yeah, I mean, I was sad. Yeah, and. I mean, it's not like I like being in the brown class, but I can work my way back up. I just gotta, you know, go through rehabilitation and I'll be fine. And you see, like, as she says that, she kind of, like, almost pained way touches the very base of the horns growing out of her head, mm-hmm. which are, like, small. They're like deer antlers that are, like, slowly starting to protrude. They aren't actively growing, like, they like you can't see them growing. I should say they aren't mm-hmm. like that. But you know that they are kind of growing, being that the first time you saw her, mm-hmm. she did not have them.
Okay.
And that was maybe 2 hours ago.
Marley, this school will always be waiting for you. And you're already in the brown class, right? So can't get much lower than that. So maybe it's worth taking a risk. And if it doesn't work out, you can always come back. It'll always be waiting there for you.
Walter turns around, like kind of hearing this conversation, and he says, "Hey, Marley, look at me."
She looks up to you. You can see she is still very hesitant, kind of bashfully looks up towards you.
What do you see? What do I look like?
You're a badger of some kind.
You know what? Close enough. The point is, I wasn't always like this, you know.
Yeah. And were you also? Were you in the brown class?
Let me tell you something, Marley, okay? There's no rehabilitation. They make their decision. They make their decision because we don't fit in anywhere.
No, but if, like, I just have to... Principal Albert said that all I have... Like, once I go through rehabilitation and I, you know, I put in the work...
No. Look. I figured out long ago that I don't belong anywhere. And some of us are just like that, all right? And when those someones... are here, they get turned into this.
Give me a mush check.
Okay. After leveling up, I now have plus zero to that.
Nice.
That is a three.
A three.
Yeah. One plus two.
That's... that's not great.
A high score. Okay.
Yeah.
You see her as she's like taking in what you're saying. She starts to shake her head and like take a step backwards. And as she does, all three of you see that it's so slight. It's ever so slight, but it is undeniable that the horns grow a little more. And as she backs away, she goes, No, I just have to work hard. I mean, if I work hard at the role they give me, I'll be rehabilitated. I'll be back in the class I'm supposed to be, and everything will be fine. And she starts to turn away.
Marley, your horns got longer when you said that.
I don't know if she hears you. I think she is...
Dakota lets go to his hand, takes like a kind of like a few like very impassioned steps forward and kind of puts a hand on Marley's shoulder and goes, listen, you saw, or at least I think you saw, the way that Albert treated Edward. He has no interest in helping anyone. He has an interest in keeping people in line. You heard what that voice said to him. Albert's job is to keep everyone in line.
Yeah, that's his role. Our roles are what keeps the order, what gives us purpose.
What's purpose if you don't want it? Do you really, deep down, want to be in that school? Do you want to become some antlered creature?
I won't, as she, like, backs away. Like, I won't as long as I do what I'm supposed to do. No, it might not be exactly what I want, but that's not what life is. You don't just get everything you want.
Yeah, you fight for it.
Why?
For the sake of doing things the way you want to.
And why should what I want matter? Why is that more important than what brings order to what contributes?
Because what's the point of dying without a life fulfilled? What's the point of dying and being on your deathbed and having a life full of things that you wish you did, but you didn't do them because you wanted to keep order?
Order doesn't give you purpose, you know? That's not what gives you purpose. You give you purpose. You give it to yourself.
As you all are, like, talking, she just continues to back up, shaking her head and, like, refusing to look any of you in the eye. And as she does, you see that the antlers grow a little bit longer. Now, being like, going from just being, like, the one-pronged horns to, like, now you're starting to see, like, another, like prong of the horn, like, start to split off from the, like, prime horn. And she just, like, kind of shouts, shut up! Okay, I'm not going to let you all drag me away from every, like, from my school, from my family. What, you expect me to just run away with you? I can't just do whatever I want. I have classes. I have a family. If you all don't want to be here, that's fine. Just...
Can Dorothy go walk up to her and try to catch her hand?
Yeah, you can try to catch her hand as she turns around to walk away.
I want to try and catch her hand as she's turning away. Try to catch her eyes.
She's trying very hard not to look at you.
Look, Marley, I know I just met you, but I'm worried about your antlers. They keep growing, and I think it's because of what you're trying to do. You're trying to go back and be part of whatever that is, and I don't think it's good. I don't think school is good. I think it's hurting you and everybody in it. Systems and order are overrated. Sometimes they're just bad. And just because they're what is in charge doesn't mean they're right.
Okay.
Sick.
Sounds like be a friend. So your good nature warms the heart of another person. Roll plus mush. And can I just say, the most woke 7-year-old.
Hey, Dorothy has run into the system being terrible. You know? Yeah. Plus mush, that would be a 10.
On a 10 plus, you gain the trust of another character. Okay. She turns to look back at you with this kind of like tears in her eyes. And she says,
I think Dorothy has some tears in her eyes. She's thinking about the ways that systems have ruined her life in the past.
But if I don't go back, I'm going to be just like him. And she looks over to Walter.
Walter kind of looks down and he says, you know how you get like this? You know what happens to change you like this?
Walter, can I give you some information that you would 100% know right now?
Yes.
Before we say something that goes like, yeah, sorry, this is 100% a thing that we should have established before, but we can establish it right now. Walter, you know that A, being a part of Brown class is what starts this transition.
Yeah.
It is the punishment that is a part of it. You also know that a part of the rehabilitation that is supposedly to try to help people out of Brown class, back into whatever other class they're supposed to be in, is they have to eat the stew, the turtle stew. And it is a stew you can only get at the school. And if you don't eat the stew, the transformation continues. And so you, Walter, would know that being with all of you and not having access to the stew is 100% going to have her change. Unless you can find another way to prevent this change from going all the way through.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I will say, like, Walter right now is currently saying what he personally believes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he says, you know what makes you change like this? Is you buy into what they're selling you. They tell you you're bad and you don't belong and they offer you a way out, but it's you can't let them get to you, and you might change, but you can't let them be in control of that.
Then what do I do?
Well, you do whatever you want, really. That's what I do, and I just keep going, just keep trying. And he looks at Dorothy and Dakota and says, we just got to keep trying. That's how we're gonna get out of here.
She looks between the three of you back and forth kind of silently, wipes the tears from her eyes, and silently nods. Okay. I guess I will try. And then from behind you, Walter, you hear, that was beautiful. And you see that that Lucy is also wiping tears from her eyes. Aren't you four just the picture of rebellion? Oh, beautiful. Well, are you all going to get in, by the way? I have a scheduled route I need to be on my way. I'm already running a little late, so if you all could just hop aboard if you are coming.
Yeah.
All right.
Walter says to Marley, you in?
Yeah, I'm in. And she walks towards the door of the bus and gets on.
Dorothy's trying not to be obvious about it, but she is going to wait for Dakota to start walking toward the bus. And then she will run ahead and go ahead and get on as well. But
Dakota pats Dorothy on the back, goes, come on, Squirt, let's get moving.
Dorothy doesn't say anything back, but she's gonna go ahead and get on the bus.
And then yeah, Dakota gets on the bus too.
When we get on the bus, I'm gonna sit like, I'm not gonna sit next to Dakota. I'm gonna sit like a row back or something. Like, I'm gonna sit on my own seat and look out the window.
Okay. Cool. Dorothy, you go to the back, you sit in your own seat. Dakota, do you like try to sit down by Dorothy, or do you like what does everybody sit down? Let's just say that Dorothy is going back, sitting at a seat by herself. Dakota, where are you sitting?
Is the bus empty?
Yeah, it's completely empty.
Dakota's probably like sitting in the seat behind the driver, like kind of up a little bit, like almost like standing in the seat rather than sitting, and kind of looking back so that like she can see everything in the bus.
Gotcha. Cool. Walter.
Walter is, first of all, I imagine that just being in a school bus for a weasel is not a great experience.
Yeah, no, this place is huge.
I imagine he's just like on a seat, like fucking just clinging to it for dear life.
Mm-hmm. Dug your claws into the pleather seat, like.
Yeah. But he is, he's kind of near the front. He's like right where he could talk to Lucy, but like not far up enough that he feels obliged to.
Yeah. Okay. I feel you. The delicate balance. Yeah. And I think Marley probably sits up by Dakota. Sure, why not?
Okay.
As you all sit down, you see Lucy looks back. He's like, all right, everybody seated. Make sure to keep your arms inside the vehicle at all times. I am not liable for any lost limbs, appendages, anything like that. Also, don't want you falling out. So here we go. And she closes the bus door and off the bus goes down the road to who knows where. This is the first time, Dorothy and Dakota, for you, that you all have like actually had a proper chance to really be on the road outside in Sublime County during the day. As the bus rolls down this paved road between towering trees of varying autumnal colors. Wherever this strange world is, it seems to be relatively in the same kind of seasonal space that Franklin was. It's autumn. The air is crisp. The leaves on the trees have turned into a rainbow of oranges and browns and reds and yellows falling in the evening wind, covering parts of the road only to be dispersed by the movement of the bus through it. Through the scattered trunks of the trees flanking the road, you see just dense forests and foliage beyond it. Small creatures skittering along the road, like rabbits or raccoons or squirrels climbing trees, birds flying. You hear the sounds of nature as I'm imagining, like maybe a couple of these windows have been lowered so the cool air can ventilate this hot, hot bus. You know how buses are just like kind of the worst as far as like ambient temperature. It's like the worst. So like some of the, or you know how like the like fire escape at the top of the bus will just like sometimes be open to help like let ventilation come through. It's that kind of deal going on.
Bus sunroof.
Yeah. It's like, it feels very much like a field trip, except there's only four of you here and five, including the bus driver. And you all are just going down the road. Is there anything any of you all are doing as you're just like riding on this bus? You kind of have the whole bus to yourself. You can do whatever. And it's, you know, you got time for the first time in forever.
Dakota takes off like, because the skirt's over my pants.
Yeah.
Dakota takes off the skirt and definitely puts, or whatever blazer was with that uniform, and puts her Letterman jacket back on.
As you're doing that, you know, we kind of imagined that, established that Marley was sitting next to you as you're taking off like the skirt and like from like off like the jeans and putting on the Letterman jacket. You see her like kind of curiously looking at you in like a very almost like baffled kind of way, but is like holding her tongue.
I see her, you said?
Oh yeah, she's sitting right next to you.
Dakota kind of like gives her like kind of like a intense look and goes, "What?"
I didn't mean to stare. It was just,
I'm not wearing this crap.
What? Why?
I said I'm not wearing this crap.
I mean, she looks down wearing the exact same thing. And he goes, "Sorry, I just I've never seen a girl wear pants before."
Well, you do now. Okay. You can get pants if you want to.
Why would I want to? They're so ugly and long.
And skirts are so short and frilly.
Yeah, but that's what girls wear.
Dakota, like, definitely like, sighs, or like, kind of like exhales for a second. Girls can't wear anything else.
I mean, sorry. I mean, that's just what we were taught. It's part of our role, you know?
Well, that's stupid.
I guess.
You like wearing skirts?
I mean, yeah, they're great. They're flowy. They look nice. They're pretty.
They just feel so stupid.
Well, pants feel stupid.
Have you tried them on?
No, why? Oh, no.
Well, don't call them stupid unless you tried them on. I've worn both, and I like pants.
Well, if I had tried them on, I would have been put in brown class sooner.
Well, they would have done you a service. Have you ever worn any other clothes at all?
Yeah, I have other clothes. I don't just have my uniform.
Do you only wear skirts?
I have dresses, and I have bathing suits. I have some shorts, but never pants.
Well, maybe I'm the type of person that wears pants, then. Is that a problem?
No, I didn't. Never said it was. I just thought it was strange.
Dakota kind of bites her lip. Like, not in, like, the fuckboy way, but in kind of, like, the anxious way.
I don't think anyone was gonna...
Listen,
damn, that's my brain. Damn, kind of fine now.
Sheesh! Hey, girl, you looking kind of fine in that dress.
And she looks back and goes, I just don't like feeling frilly, okay?
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you mad.
I'm not mad. It's fine.
Okay. As this is happening, Walter.
Yeah.
Where exactly were you sitting again? Up by,
pretty close to the front.
Yeah. You see, as she's driving, Lucy kind of waves you over. Says, hey, Walter, get on up here.
I would really love to stay here while we're moving. It's, and they hit a bump and he just goes, oh, jeez.
All right, understandable. I understand. Well, I gotta ask, what are you doing back here at the school and all? I thought you'd been long gone by now.
You know, it is a long and you know, frankly, kind of confusing turn of events. But I'm helping these kids here. I'm helping them get back home.
Oh, she like kind of whistles in that way that people do. I can't whistle, but yeah. You know exactly the whistle that I'm talking about.
I know exactly the one.
That's quite a task. I mean, I could have sworn I thought that's what you were trying to do, and it seems like, well, no offense, you're still here.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, maybe he gets a little quieter and just is like, you know, maybe my opportunity is passed. But you know, that doesn't mean it's the same for it's the same for them. So, yeah, I'm trying to see what I can do.
Well, that's awfully noble of you.
I guess. I don't know. It's,
well, the Walter I knew certainly wasn't going out of his way to help nobody else, so it's got to say something.
I don't know. Maybe it feels good to, you know, cause a little chaos in this place. Maybe it feels good to, you know, prevent them from getting something that they want for once.
Ah, that's the Walter I know.
And I don't know. I mean, they belong somewhere. They got a home.
Everybody belongs somewhere, Walter.
Yeah, I used to think that too.
Except for you, I guess. In your mind, it seems.
Yeah.
So, where's your next stop going to be?
This is a good question. yeah, okay. So this is interesting because I would normally like I have the
connected role.
The connected role, which I did last session, which got us to the bus.
Yeah.
So now, like, do I do it again?
I mean, you can. What, do you have Forest Expert? I don't think you do you?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Actually?
I do. Yeah.
Oh, well.
I've connected in Forest Expert. Those are my, like, special moves.
Oh, look at that. Well, that's gonna be more of, wait, you've been around here a long time, but long enough to know where you're going. You know how to get where you're going. You can expedite the journey. Okay, cool. It's going to take it. Okay, interesting. Cool. I guess in this space, I mean, I guess we have to talk about, like, what is it that Walter knows about this place? The place that being the, you know, the sublime, but also, like, about getting out of here, right? We've
right.
vaguely kind of talked about it, and I'm open to us having this conversation right now about what is it or what does Walter know about trying to get out of here. And if you want to just make up some stuff and we can roll with that, I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah. I had it in my head, and we had sort of referenced this a little bit, but I had in my head that like Walter at some point Walter was offered a way out. Mm-hmm. Maybe legit, maybe not.
Okay.
But he was not willing to do what was requested of him. Well, uh-huh. Not willing or maybe not able.
Gotcha.
I think I think he definitely gets that the Sublime is not like, you know, he gets that it's not a county in generic American state.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I think I have something for it.
Okay.
And this actually, this is so good. Okay, cool. The way that Walter the proposition that someone made to get you out of the Sublime, it was a while ago, months ago. I mean, you can't really, time is weird in the Sublime. So it's hard to say quite how long ago, but there is this group, you know, out on the outskirts of the Sublime, away from central Sublime County, where most people who fall into the roles live, in the outer parts of the county, where more of the rejects and those who were given non-essential roles, non-essential in the way that whoever is in control of that kind of thing deems as being non-essential, such as farming, that kind of thing, something that is truly essential, but whoever's in charge of it doesn't particularly care about it. That kind of manual labor, producing food, producing goods.
This is where, yeah, like every small town has the factory. Is this where the factory is?
Yeah, exactly. That's where the factories are, on the outskirts of Sublime County. And then even farther than that, the kind of not really like the wild lands where the forest just goes on for eternity, where the people who have refused any kind of structure imposed on them by the Sublime and the one who controls it, where they live and roam free, but free in a way where they are still stuck in the Sublime. So they are always under the rule of the person that they are rebelling against. It is out there, out in the wildlands, where you met a group who has been trying to get out of the Sublime, and they think they found a way. And the last time, and when you talked to them, you talked to, I'm going to pull up a name generator here. Get out my little notebook so I can write down names Actually, what am I talking about? I got names right here, baby.
I was like, didn't you have a whole list?
I do. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a whole list, but it's a kind of a list. But some good names like Kit Craft. 100% Kit Craft is getting moved. Okay, Kit Craft, leader of the rebellion, believes they can... The rebellion believes in this idea that the Sublime is a simulation. You know that as when you get out into the outskirts, these are the people dealing in where the inner parts of the Sublime are kind of like this, kind of rural, you know? The outskirts are more urban, where people left to their own devices have built skyscrapers, monuments to their own rebellion. They have built cities out in the woods, wild, chaotic places filled with neon lights, smoke, and this never-ending sounds of a party that is made to express themselves as fully as they would like without the structure imposed on them by the stranger. It is out there, out in the wild lands, that the rebellion has crafted this idea that the Sublime is a simulation. And the only way to exit the simulation, for anyone to leave the simulation, is someone needs to dive deeper into the code of that simulation, find whoever's controlling it, and take them out. And so the proposal made to you was that you would help, that they were going to ask you, once they finished building whatever contraption was necessary to enter the code of this of the sublime, and have you go in there and take them out.
Mm-hmm. Holy moly.
Hell yeah. Okay.
That's incredible.
But at the time, you were like, what?
Yeah, right.
What is this nonsense? What?
What?
I think he's still kind of like, what? But, yeah.
So that is what you know about, that's what you know.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. So cutting back to, to the bus,
cutting back to the bus where the bus driver just asks, where are you going?
He says, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I want you to take us to the outskirts.
To the wild? Okay. Walter, I do have a bus route, and it gets nowhere even close to the wildlands.
You can't do an old pal a favor.
Walter, you...
Can Dakota overhear this?
Yeah, you're like right. You're not too far
away. Is this during our conversation with Marley or afterwards?
This is like around the same time. Like, it can be afterwards.
Okay. Gus, do you have anything to say here?
Not really.
I was gonna say, okay. If you can't do it on your bus route, what about when you get off of work?
Kid, I understand that you're new to the Sublime, but understand, there is no off work for us. Not for the drivers.
Oh. So it's all or nothing then, huh?
Yep. I can take you all as far outside this district as my route will allow, but it's still going to be quite a distance before you get anywhere close to being in the wildlands.
Okay.
Walter, is there anything we need to bring with us? Can we stop in town first and maybe pick up some things if we need anything? Or, I mean, what are we really getting set up for here? I'm game, but do we have everything we need?
I mean, I guess this would maybe be a more of a question for Kendrick. Like, if we were to travel there on foot, basically, would we, like, is it far enough away that we would need, like, supplies to get there?
Oh, yeah, it would take you quite a while. It would take a couple of days for you to travel from Inner Sublime County out to the wildlands.
Okay, yeah.
Because if we think about it, Walter had been traveling for years, months, yeah. Just around the Sublime.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So he's...
How long is the bus ride there?
All the way to the wildlands? Mm-hmm. Still probably a couple of days, but it would be faster than walking. Probably like a day, just because how far vehicles can go.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Lucy, what do I got to do? What do I got to do to get this favor from you?
Walter, you know I can't. This is my job.
Yeah, well, I've convinced people to not do their jobs around here before.
And how's that turned out for them?
Walter thinks back to Edward and says, and says, yeah, mostly fine.
It sounds to me like you're trying to grift her.
Yes.
Awesome. You try to convince someone to do something against their self-interest, deception, intimidation, persuasion. Describe what you want to do, then roll plus mush.
That is an 8.
On an 8, they'll consider it for a price. Fine. I can take you part of the way there, but I will not take you any further, you understand? I can take you as far out as the carnival.
Okay. We can work with that.
Would we be able to get supplies at the carnival?
Yeah, carnivals have food and such.
How hungry are we right now?
You guys are probably starving. The last time you ate was the night before.
That is true. Okay. That is true.
I've been snacking off my candy.
Dakota's going to go over here and be like, okay, if we're going outside of town, can we stop in the town for maybe 30 minutes, get some food? And I mean, no offense, Marley, but it's Halloween. You don't even have a costume.
What's Halloween?
It's a fun little festival where... everyone dresses up and we get free candy and we all hang out and have a good time.
That's fair. I want to say something. Hilda, there's no way you still have candy.
What, I've eaten all of it now?
It's been 3 days, Hilda.
It's you been 3 days? Have an... Whoa, okay. Yeah. You're fair. That's fair. That's fair.
It's been just, days. 3 days?
That's crazy.
Okay, right. I don't think... Hold on, wait. Okay, it's been... No, this is the second day.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but you had it most of it at the diner. That was the reason why you didn't have dinner, remember?
I guess.
You remember where you were like, I'm not having dinner because I ate all this candy?
Yeah, that's fair. No, that's fair. I'm sorry. Keeping up with the timeline here and keeping up with how much candy I would have had /
you had been eating
like
it
had
in,
at the beginning
in,
yeah. to like now. Yeah, okay.
If you had both of the buckets, I would maybe say, but you, would maybe you only have a singular bucket.
All that's left is like some Smarties and like, what's another
actually,
like not so good candy?
Also, wait, no, because Dakota put all the candy in the toilet.
No, that was
your own stash. You're correct. Okay, my bad. But you still don't have any candy.
That's fine.
You would also recognize at this point you don't have your turtle. But
yeah,
because
I've reached the bottom of the candy bucket, so.
Hi, everybody. It's me again, Kendo, here to do the mid-roll housekeeping. I had someone else who was supposed to come here and do this, but I guess it's my job for today, so here we go. Well, first of all, let me thank you all for listening to the podcast. It means so much to all of us that you are taking the time out of your very busy schedule and deciding to listen to us. It is absolutely amazing. And there are other ways you can also support us. The main way is by just telling your friends. We don't really like pay for advertising or anything. So the main way that our podcast community is going to grow is by you telling people that you enjoy us and, trying to get them to listen to us as well. Another way that you can do that is also giving us a review or rating on Apple Podcasts. That way, people can just go to the podcast page and they can see exactly what you think. Another way that you can support us is by going to our socials on Instagram and Twitter at Tales Yet Told. All one word, very, very simple, because that makes for good branding, I suppose. But you can go follow us on there. That's where we give all of our updates on, release delays like this one was, where we repost character art that people have made for us. It's been super cool to see any and all of that. And just where we like to, talk to all of you and get to know you a little better. Then maybe you get to know us a little better as well. I also want to give a huge shout out to the Be Gay Roll Dice Network for allowing us to be a part of their queer little family and embracing us with open arms. The network is filled with well over a dozen diverse and mostly queer voices, where you can go and listen to stories of queer people going on adventures and doing just super dope shit. Isn't that great? Don't you want queer people doing super dope shit? I do. That's why we do this. So definitely go check that out. And in fact, I think I have an ad for one of them right here. Finally. Okay. Well, it's too late. I already did this. Well, while I go answer this, don't forget to eat enough, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and take care of yourself. Because self-care is very important. And don't forget to love yourself like I love you. Okay. Yeah, I'm coming. Jeez.
Hi! Welcome to The Game is Afoot. This is a podcast where queer guests...
I'm back, baby!
...play games.
I pick my jaw up off the floor real quick.
Real quick.
Put that back on.
And do an interview.
My secret is...
This is published on the first and third Sunday of every month, so come join us. And I hope you have a good time. Bye!
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super-condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system, made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, Badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into three sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive hollow foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload. And good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude world. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's Snake Eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake Eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck!
So back into the conversation. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I was just making it. I figured I didn't have much candy left, but yeah, that's good to establish.
So yeah, it's been, you guys are probably starving. It's been since the previous night, since the last time you ate.
Well, Walter's just going to like find some like bugs somewhere. And he's gonna check. No, he's not gonna do that.
Of course. So yeah, she says to the carnival man.
Yeah, we can grab some food there.
All right, sounds good to me. And she, you see, she peels off and turns down. There's like a fork in the road. One that was like leading on straight on, and then the other one leads on to like a more like rocky, less paved, just like straight rocks kind of road. Turns down off into the woods.
I think the way you've described this, Walter, is holding on even tighter.
Awesome. Dorothy.
Hi.
You've been sitting back here by yourself, looking out the window, watching the very strange, yet somehow familiar and warm and comfortable new world pass you by. What's going on in your head, Dorothy?
So Dorothy, after she was certain that Dakota was boarding the bus, she kind of moved toward like the back of the bus and scooted into the window seat. She's taken off her coat because the bus is poorly circulated and warm.
Mm-hmm.
It's like rolled up her costume sleeves and is like sitting in the bus chair. You know how like you like slouch down so that you can like put your legs up against the seat in front of you, like, mm-hmm. so that you're like braced, almost, you're like almost braced over the gap between the seat and the next chair, but like she's like braced between them, like slouched down, and has put her coat next to her with the pumpkin that she has now realized is empty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just her and Elsie back there. And she's looking out the window, trying to process everything that just went down at the school.
Mm-hmm. As you were sitting out, sitting here, looking out the window, watching the trees and the road pass by, there is the camera is like sitting in the aisle, looking at like a close up at you as you're like looking out the window, and as it slowly pulls back, there's like a tree limb that's like pretty close passes by, and in the reflection of the glass, we see Elsie again. And the camera pulls back and she is sitting there next to you in the chair. She says, well, that was scary. What are we gonna do now?
I don't know. I lost Timmy. And Dakota didn't want to come. And now it's just, I don't know how to get home, Elsie. Dakota's gonna disappear just like Hazel did. And it's just gonna be you and me again, I think.
I'm sorry. I know it's really scary when it's just the two of us. She says, she like looks into the bucket where Timmy used to be housed.
Mm-hmm.
And says, especially now that Timmy's gone. And now that, and she like looks like over into the aisle, like up to the front, and says, now that Dakota and Walter have new friends, it's just us.
I thought it was gonna be us and Dakota and the Abbotts, and I don't think it is. Dakota was gonna leave me. She was gonna stay there. She didn't want to come with me.
Maybe she had her reasons. Maybe she just likes it better here.
Maybe I'm just not a good enough sister.
You're a great sister. And I know that I'm not technically your sister, but I like you, and I would never leave you.
That's because you can't.
What do you mean I can't?
Because I made you up.
What? You didn't make me up. I've always been here.
Yeah.
If I was made up, could I do this? And she pokes you in the stomach.
Do I actually feel her poke me in the stomach?
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like a person just poked you in the stomach.
My gosh. What the fuck? I think that, like, Dorothy's definitely taken aback at that for a second. Because she's never really wanted to face the fact that, like, she knows that she kind of came up with Elsie as, like, a friend. And It was always something that, like, she knew and didn't want to, like, acknowledge. And so then, like, finally acknowledging the fact that, like, she made her up, and then having a physical interaction with something that she finally just admitted is, like, maybe not real. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that definitely gives her a lot of pause. She's gonna look over at Elsie a little bit harder.
See, I told you. I'm as real as you or Walter or Dakota. Why do you think I'm not real?
Because Dakota never sees you.
And that's because I don't like Dakota very much. So I hide. She's kind of mean.
But, yeah, I guess.
I mean, I don't, you know. You know how, like, she always, like, kind of talks down to you and tells you to shut up whenever you're trying to get her attention?
I mean, most people do.
Well, they're not nice either.
I don't have anything to contribute, though. I'm just...
What? That's not
I'm
true.
I'm just a little kid. I don't know things.
Yeah, but you're nicer than Dakota, and you're cooler and funnier. You try to help people.
Yeah, but I never do.
Well,
it's okay, Elsie. You don't have to say things to make me feel better.
I know, but...
I already lost Timmy. I almost lost Dakota. I'm not good at keeping anybody around. I lost the Abbotts. I lost Hazel.
Well, then I guess I'm a nobody, then.
Did you want to be the salt to my pepper?
Of course I wanted to be the saltier Pepper. We're friends. I wasn't going to let you be Pepper by yourself. And you know what? I was gonna save this until the end because I thought it was gonna be funny.
I look but it's at not just the sorry, wait. Because of the salt yeah. thing, I like look at because that is the only other thing in the bottom of the bucket is the salt shaker that Walter gave me. So that's like the last thing that's in the bucket with like the discarded like hard Tootsie Rolls and loose Smarties.
Yeah.
So I take the little salt shaker out and I'm kind of like looking, I'm like holding it like as a physical object and then like also still like looking at Elsie because I'm still trying to grapple with like her maybe actually being there.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, she can continue saying what she was going to say.
I was going to save this until later because I thought it would be really funny. But seeing that you're kind of sad, I guess it's not actually just the two of us. And she, in her like little kind of jacket, opens it up, sticks her hand in, and takes out Timmy.
What? Timmy?
Huh.
You?
I picked him up.
You picked him up for me?
Well, of course. It's just the three of us, remember?
I thought I'd lost him. I thought I'd been a bad friend.
You're not a bad friend. I was there. And that's what friends are for helping when other friends forget things.
Thank you, Elsie. Can I hold out my hand to, like, take Timmy from Elsie?
Yeah. She hands him to you and, like, gives you, like, this really, like, soft smile.
Is she corporeal? Like, the handoff? Like...
Yeah, you touch the turtle. Yeah, Jesus she Christ. Hands you the turtle.
Okay. Wow. It's the three of us again.
It is. It'll always be the three of us. Just you, me, and Timmy.
And I think, like, I peek over the seats to, like, look up at where, like, Walter and Dakota are. And maybe where, like, Marley's horns are peeking over the seat as well.
Yeah, you see the three of them, as well as, like, the bus driver, Lucy. The four of them are just chatting, talking, having a good time.
Dakota is, like, as I said, like, kind of standing up a bit over the seats. Would she be able to see Dorothy peeking up, or no? Am I too in focus on the conversation?
I will leave that up to you to what you think is the most dramatically appropriate.
Yeah, I say that Dakota kind of sees the little pepper shaker hat come up above the brown leather seats and sees two sets of eyes and kind of turns her head and kind of gives Dakota like a soft smile.
Dorothy.
You see one set of eyes. It's just Dorothy's.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, did I say two sets of eyes? Yeah. I was thinking in my brain, I said, I went two eyes.
Oh, yeah, no, you said sets.
Well, yeah.
Two sets of eye.
Two sets of eye. Yeah. But yeah, sorry.
I duck back down when I make eye contact with Dakota, and I look back over at Elsie.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stick to us. You, me, and Timmy first.
She smiles.
But I don't think it can just be us. I think we have to find more.
Okay.
But we're a good start. And I, like, hold up Timmy. I, like, try to, like, look at his eyes, I guess. Like, see if I could see, like, the little turtle.
This little black turtle.
Yeah.
Arms wriggling as you're just holding him up. Looks you in the eyes.
Uh-huh.
It's beady black eyes.
Uh-huh.
Opens its mouth wide and, like, lets out, like, a little turtle noise. I don't know what noise turtles make. I'm imagining like a
insert turtle noise here. Then I go ahead and I place him back into the little plastic pumpkin for safekeeping.
Dope.
Having seen Dorothy kind of duck back without like doing anything or like looking up, Dakota gets a little worried. And so Dakota kind of shuffles her way past Marley while the bus is still moving, kind of using the seats to balance herself and keep herself from being thrown by like the, you know, by the momentum of the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of like using each of the seats, and Rosa's seats kind of moves her way back until she makes her way like to the seat in front of Dorothy and kind of slides in and sits on her knees to look over and goes, "Hey, I think we're heading to a carnival outside of town. Is that gonna be okay?"
"Okay." I'm like not making eye contact with Dakota. I'm like looking out the window with my little pumpkin in my lap.
Just so it is clearly stated, Dakota, when you come over here and you know, you're looking over, talking to mm-hmm. Dorothy, Elsie is not here.
Yeah, I assume so.
What the fuck is going on?
Oh my fucking god. What have I brought into this world?
Is there any...
sorry, yes. Continue.
Is there anything you need at all, or are you okay back here?
I'm fine.
Okay. It's gonna be a bit of a ride, okay? You don't have to go to the bathroom or anything?
I'm fine.
Dakota kind of, a little bit frustrated, kind of huffs and then starts hiking her way back up to the front of the bus.
And this bus ride continues. It is scenic. As you are bumping around on this bus, you pass over small bridges that cross over babbling brooks, streams, and open valleys through this beautiful autumnal landscape. As you all are crossing over one particular bridge that's over this large stream, or river, I suppose is what it would be called, there's a sign just on the other side of the bridge. It's this old wooden sign, and carved in it are these like really large kind of bubble letters that seem to be like carved or burned into the sign that just says... The Botanical Carnival. And as you all are like approaching this sign, you see Lucy kind of points it out. "Oh, see, there we are. We're getting closer. Should be there in about another 5 minutes or so. So everybody just hold on tight. We're going to get you there as soon as possible." And you all continue to ride past it. Marley, who is still kind of like a bit nervous and maybe a bit ashamed is not the word, a bit I guess awkward after the conversation between the two of you, Dakota kind of sheepishly looks over and says, "I've never been to a carnival before. What are they like?"
"They're a lot of fun, actually. Do you like, well, I guess, have you seen a roller coaster before, or a Ferris wheel, or have you had, funnel cakes? Oh, they're the best. Or even corn dogs?"
No, I don't think I've had any of that before."
"We have to get funnel cakes. Oh my god." And as Dakota says that, you kind of hear her stomach growl.
Yeah, having not eaten.
"Oh, they have clowns there, which I'm not really a big fan of, but I think for some reason people like them."
"You don't like clowns?" You hear Lucy calling out from the front.
No, they're just, I don't get it."
"Well, they're fun, you know, they prance around, do a bit of slapstick, fall in the pies, that kind of deal."
"Yeah, that's just not for me."
"Well,
do you like clowns, Lucy?"
"I wouldn't say I like clowns, I tolerate them, they exist."
That sounds about right.
"But I wouldn't say I dislike them either, you know, they have their place just like everything else."
"Ah, yes, the true clowns of this world. They have their place."
"Well, clowns aside." "Clowns aside, Marley, it's a fun time. It's really cool, actually."
"Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, I guess. It'll be the first thing I do after running away from everything that I know."
"Nothing like a good runaway carnival, yeah?"
"Yeah. You see the antlers on her head grow a little larger. eventually, you all pull up to a bus stop right by a break in the woods in a wooden path, you know, where it's like there are wooden planks that have just been kind of put into the ground in a sequential order to like make a path. It's not like a full on like wooden boardwalk, you know, but just like a more of a what's it called, more of an implied path, you know,
like a goat trail.
Yeah,
like a what trail?
A goat trail.
What the fuck is a goat trail?
Never heard of goat trail? All right, never fucking mind.
I'm sorry. No, I have not heard of a goat trail. Goat trail, Big Bluff Goat Trail, that's a real place in Arkansas, of all places.
No, a goat trail is like when you're on a like a paved path or like a hiking path or something, and then you see like a place where like the grass has been mowed down because people are walking that way, but it is not part of like the a designated path. It's like...
This is
the goat trail.
Interesting. This is new vernacular.
I've heard this.
I've never heard of this. This is interesting. But yeah, kind of like a goat trail.
All right.
Yeah, I learned something new today. Yeah, it is a goat trail that is that leads out through this kind of opening in the foliage. And just and beyond it, you can see like... lights and movement, but it's distant enough where you can't quite tell any specific details, but there is a sign right at the entrance of this trail overgrown with like moss, and there are like kind of vines that hang from it, and you can tell that it's kind of cultivated in this way to like kind of hang loosely in a kind of decorative fashion. And on the sign it says the Botanical Carnival. And Lucy pulls up to here, opens the door, and turns around in her chair and says, well, this is about as far as I can take you.
Well, we appreciate the help, Lucy.
No problem whatsoever, Walter. I hope that well, all of you can get to wherever you belong. Safe and sound, that is.
Yeah, we hope so, too.
And then... Dakota kind of sits there, starts to like kind of push, like not push, but like kind of like move. So like Marley will start getting up and be like, thank you, Lucy, for the ride. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Marley gets up as well.
And then kind of looks back to see if Dorothy's coming.
Can I see if like, does Elsie slide out of her seat? Because I'm on the inside.
Yeah, Elsie slides out of her seat.
All right. Then I also get out and I follow Elsie out of the bus.
Yeah, if you like motion for her to go first, she will go first.
Yeah, I mean, well, she was on the outside, so I imagine that she, you know, got out, stepped forward, and then I went, and it's a bus aisle, actually, so like she has to be in front of me.
Well, I was imagining she got out and stepped backwards.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, I'm gonna keep checking, and go out to follow everybody out the front of the bus.
Yeah, for sure.
My coat's like over my arm now too. Like I'm not wearing my coat, but it's over my arm, and I have the pumpkin.
Gotcha. Which also has the flashlight in it, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. And Timmy, and the salt shaker,
and the salt shaker.
A lot of things in this pumpkin. A
lot of things, but it's empty of candy now, so there's a lot of space now.
A lot of space. Everybody files out, and as you all kind of. Get out of the bus, you hear Lucy from behind and says, you all stay safe now. Sublime can be a weird place.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Hey, Lucy.
Yeah.
If you ever, decide you're tired of driving the same bus route for eternity, well, we'll be.
Walter?
Yeah.
I would not be caught dead in the wildlands. I'm just going to tell you that right up front. But if you ever find yourself back on my bus route, I'm sure I'll see you.
All right.
I'll take care now. And she closes the doors of the bus and drives off.
Be gay.
Roll dice.
An LGBTQIA actual play podcast network.